When I was about 12 or 13, I started looking at field guide and books about American trackers and indigenous trackers. And I was immediately captured by how powerful a skill it was, and that people could read a landscape unlike any biologist could, because tracks you begin to see retrospectively. You begin to see what's been there and over a long period of time, depending on the weather conditions. So when I went to university and studied biology and looked at ecology, I quickly realized that good trackers are good ecologists, because then you're not looking just in the moment. You're looking at, what's came and fed and moved and lived and died and that whole dance of life and death. And that's an extremely powerful tool that hasn't been accepted into modern science yet.
So where have you been so far, Connor?
I started in Southern Africa. I first got training with a field guiding academy in Southern Africa, and moved around South Africa a little bit, and went to Namibia and was in the Kalahari with the Bushmen or San. Southern Africa, I think, occupies the rare place of being maybe the only place in the world where tracking is actually improving with every passing year, is that it's sort of morphed from hunting into the safari industry. So if you're a good tracker in Southern Africa, you get a job very, very easily. So there are now programs to train people and to pass on the skills. And they're very much alive today. And even in remote indigenous areas, like with the Bushmen and the Kalahari, although times are changing extremely rapidly, like they are around the world, I worked with trackers who were from the ages of 19 to over 80, and the latter was so old that he predated contemporary chronology in the area. And this 19-year-old had been hunting by himself for 10 years at that point, and he started hunting on his own when he was 9.
And what would he be learning as a youngster, and what would the old people be teaching him to give him the skills he needs to survive and track in the bush?
I think by the time he could walk, he started going out with his father and his uncles and a whole host of family members, probably two or three of them going out. And they would sit, and then as they generously did with me, and point to tracks and explain what's going on and this animal, and their ability to determine not only the species, but the gender and the time of day. And from those, you can often draw intention of what an animal's up to. So that's why the applications to ecology are huge. It's like you've got, a cheetah moving at this speed with two cubs at this time of day. And so they're in there, they can infer so much about animal behavior, is that we, particular times of days, you see people, see animals moving in certain methods. So if it's full moon, if it's dark, if it's hot, if it's raining, all of those things.
So it's a storybook laid out before us, but unless you know how to read the language, you can't tell what the land and the animals are saying.
Exactly. It's perfectly analogous to reading, is that you sort of first learn the alphabet, which is like the shapes of the tracks. So you have different pads, and this equates to, say, a kangaroo here or a cheetah in Africa. And then you sort of string words together as you're looking at longer gaits and movement patterns and seeing subtleties. And that moves into sentences and in paragraphs as you are following a trail over 20 kilometers and seeing what this animal is doing. And that's all part of the hunt to them.
You said that in Southern Africa, tracking has grown as a skill. It hasn't diminished as a cultural skill, and that's because of the massive safari tourism industry. What have you found about the state of tracking skills in Western Australia, in the Kimberley?
Well, it's not nearly as economically viable in the most sort of capitalistic sense, which is a tragedy in a lot of way, because there are many, many men and women in the Kimberley that I've been hearing about and/or have met that have these skills. The transition out of the bush and into towns or stations or communities all over the Kimberley has happened very, very quickly. So there are still those people who have incredible ecological knowledge of what's going on there and are passing it on to their kids. And so my hope is that more people will continue to take their children out hunting and pass along those skills. So it's there. But striking a balance between sort of modernity and the traditional bush skills is always difficult.
My guest this morning on ABC Radio is Connor Blanchett, and he's a researcher, a biologist, who with the Watson Foundation is doing his fellowship around the world, tracking animals and learning more about the skills of animal tracking and trying to build up a picture of animal movements and species distribution and working out what that means for conservation in ecology and the environment. And can you elaborate for me, Connor Blanchett, more about your Kimberley experience, where you've gone, what you've been shown?
It's been a little difficult because I was sort of forced logistically to come during the wet season at the hottest time of year. By 10:30, we all know that it's, almost 40 degrees. So things have been difficult in that regard. But I've been able to, I was helped greatly by Pat Lowe, the author of Chilji and Hunters and Trackers of the Australian Desert, and meeting up with people in the local Aboriginal community and going out to areas like Roebuck Plains or going up towards Kwandong and those areas, and just going out hunting and talking with people and seeing what they're looking at and you know, what is this and what track is this and what scat is this and what's eating here, and the knowledge is encyclopedic. It's still there.
How can we better utilize that skill?
Well, it could probably come in a few different forms. Tourism, I think, would probably be the best and the most sustainable over the long term, creating the advertising base and the education base to let people know that this is skill is here and that what it can show people. I mean, people are entranced by the wilderness here and the Kimberley and its wildlife and its plant life and, you know, all of that. And to have someone who can give a tour of that is often integrated with a whole spiritual background that, you know, is beyond the realm of my project, is a powerful experience. And it also can be used in biological monitoring. And that's sort of my specific angle looking at it, is that if you want to know what species are where, and if you look at distribution maps of Australian mammals, they often look rather confident in these sort of outlines of where mammals are. But they're often very, very wrong. And, if you go and ask people, is this, and I had wonderful experiences like opening maps and picture books and looking at, and it's like, is this animal here? Is this animal here? Is this animal here? And they would run through the list and they were often very different than the distribution map thought. So if you want to have a baseline for what mammals or fauna of any sort are around, these are the people to ask.
Southern Africa, the Kimberley, you've ticked off those two spots. Where are you off to next?
The Amazon Basin is next, and this presents a sort of a different spin on tracking, because here in a desert environment, you can follow things over long distances. But in a jungle environment that is as tumultuous as the Amazon, the skill is more an interpretation of sign, and hunting occurs over much shorter distances. So I'm going to be... But the reason that I chose the Amazon is partially because there are still groups there that have been hunting for millennia, and that the Amazon, like a lot of places, is in great danger. I mean, there's huge pressures from agriculture, from the mineral sector, and the Amazon is a precious biological resource. And so if you want to have something, some empirical data that can help you to preserve that resource, you have to start with what's there and what's not. And so this is one of those ways.
Connor, think back to some of your most exciting tracking moments or prints that you have seen in the bush so far. What would they be?
I think for me, chasing here in the Kimberley, chasing a goanna through the bush and something that had taken off at lightning speed and is leaving such light traces on the ground and to follow that over significant distance and to begin to sort of pick it up on my own and to anticipate where the tracks are. And that that is a sign of sort of the improvement of skill is to begin to anticipate where things are rather than simply finding them. And that was a wonderful experience and equal ones in Southern Africa, seeing and following the tracks of animals that I'd only seen in documentary films of cheetah, of leopard, of wildebeest, of hyena. So it's been a dream come true for me, who's been interested in biodiversity my entire life and the secret life of animals that is revealed in tracks.